This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, Joyce Goh, Tan Chung Han, and myself, Sharad Kutin, with the top business stories of the day. So let's come back to some of the news stories that are animating discussions this morning. The struggle for Malaysia Airlines continues. Well, not for it, but the struggles that they have continue. Between April and June this year, the national carrier's load factor reported an on-month decline, while their on-time performance also fell.
Yeah, Malaysia Airlines described it as a tough second quarter. I think this was due to heightened competition and forex movement, and also because of the lean travel period during Ramadan. So the load factor was at 77.8%. It saw a small dip from 79.4% in the first quarter this year, so comparatively quarter on quarter. Second quarter on-time performance also fell to 73% from 78% quarter on quarter.
All right. Also, interesting to note, Malaysia Airlines had more international passengers flying with them, but fewer domestic passengers. Just to give you some numbers real quick, domestic passengers fell by almost 3% on year, but international passengers' load factor rose by almost 17%. And, you know, we have been speaking about that price war between airlines, and so that has actually hit Malaysia Airlines yet again, resulting in a 4.5% drop in average fares.
Now, last month on the Breakfast Grill, we spoke to Malaysia Airlines CEO Peter Bellew. Recall that Khazanah, a recovery plan for the national carrier, was launched back in 2014. And within 5 years, by 2019, the goal was to relist the national carrier. Peter gave us an update on how close Malaysia Airlines is to achieving sustainable profitability.
The budget that was done for the 5 years showed a loss in the current year and profitability across the full year next year. That was what was actually in the plan. I think we'll hit that. I think we're on track to do that right now. I think the second half of next year we will hit a sustainable profitability, and then that will prepare us to go back on the capital markets in 2019. So we're on track. I think it's quite seasonal, the business in Malaysia. So the first half of the year, you will normally find it's quite difficult to, you know, particularly in the network business, to always make a profit. I think the second half of the year, quarters three and four of the calendar year, are generally much, much stronger. Okay. So I think every year you would see a carrier like Malaysia Airlines, you'd probably struggle in the first quarter, second, third, fourth quarter, be profitable.
So what's the outlook for the rest of the year, Joyce?
Well, Malaysia Airlines says that it continues to see a challenging environment in the domestic sector due to overcapacity and competition. But advanced bookings are far stronger in 2017 than 2016. So they're seeing yield pressure across all routes, as low fares are available from many legacy carriers as well as the traditional low-cost carriers. And as we heard Bellew said, the airline is still on track to be profitable in 2018.
Yeah, that's right. So a big part of that, you know, becoming profitable, a big part of that has got to do with China, China, China. You recall that Malaysia Airlines just expanded 11 new routes into China this year. In their latest quarterly announcement, they mentioned the likes of Wuhan, Fuzhou, and Nanjing. I hope, Sharad, probably you can help me with the pronunciation.
Yeah, Chongqing. But, you know, what's important, you know, I'm just wondering about this, this reliance on China for growth. We already have that marathon being pulled because the estimated or expected buy-in from Chinese runners didn't happen. And so, I mean, again, is every event and every business going to be relying on the China factor to turn a profit?
Right, but the China strategy, this has its merits. For the first 5 months of this year, you can see tourists from China, it has gone up by 7.8% year on year. And if you look at Tourism Malaysia data, you can see that tourists from China, they are coming back after 10% year on year drop to 1.61 million in 2014. This was after the twin airline tragedies that happened. And you can see, like China tourists, that has rebounded to hit a historical high of 2.12 million in 2016, passing the previous high of 1.79 million in 2013. And Malaysia targets to lure about 4 million tourists from China, you know, that, and aims to double that to 8 million by 2020. I mean, Sharad, maybe Chinese tourists don't like to run. Maybe they like to do other things.
Because you can eat durian, see, apparently. Yeah, because, eat our durian.
Yeah, because you can see from the statistics, in 2016, right, the 1.68 million Chinese tourists spent about 5.7 billion. That averages about three over 1,000 ringgit per tourist.
Okay, but you know, because you know, Pera is counting on Chinese tourists as well. They're building that new international airport.
Sri Iskandar, right?
Yeah, I think they're expecting Chinese tourists to fly directly into Pera rather than going through Kuala Lumpur, where a lot of food is available.
Right, and speaking about food, you know, even Peter Bellew mentioned this on his grill as well. You know, essentially from his interaction with Chinese tourists, you know, they love coming here. Why? Because you have a substantial portion of the Malaysian population who speaks Chinese. I am not included in that population, Xiang Qiaoren right here. You know, you've got that going on. And also, so many Chinese food and eateries around here. So that kind of bodes well for, you know, attracting more Chinese tourists. I mean, Bellew is really bullish about it. And he spoke about how this tremendous amount of Chinese nationals who are set to get a passport. And he doesn't see a reason why they shouldn't make a pit stop over here in Malaysia.
They like the beaches as well. And they like Genting. I think I think Genting saw an uptick. You can see the numbers started rising again when Chinese tourists started to come back. Mm. And they like, there are a few things that they like here in Malaysia: food, beach, perhaps shopping, the culture. I mean, there are a lot of other reasons. So, maybe just not running.
So stereotypical. We're stereotyping Chinese tourists now. You know, but still, when looking at the tourism industry here in Malaysia, in today's Edge Financial Daily, the cover story for them is this apparent decline on year for all tourists. Chinese tourists, picked up by about what? Chinese tourists
is up 7.8%.
7.8%, but overall, you know, just tourist arrivals down 0.9%. But this is for January to May. This is before SEA Games happened. This is before the marathon as well.
Okay, we move away from Malaysia Airlines to just a general portrait of domestic traffic. What do we have from there?
Well, MAHB says that domestic traffic improved 2.9% to 6 million passengers. This is for July. So maybe the tourist numbers are lagging. It's not really up to date yet to show that,
Okay, keeping on our China theme, China is joining forces with France and Britain in announcing plans to end sales of gasoline and diesel cars.
Right, so this is huge. I think China's industry ministry has said that they're developing a timetable to end the production of traditional fuel cars, and they said that there was no possible target date. But Beijing is stepping up pressure on automakers to accelerate the development of electrics. I mean, I guess they are. That is a big factor for them right now to look into.
Yeah, and this call, you know, follows on the back of the likes of France. France and Britain, you know, and also, you know, other countries, other economies in Europe who are also calling for an end to the use of the sale of gasoline cars on the continent.
Yeah, in fact, you know, recently some prominent scientists said that, you know, we have a 3-year window period in order to not get past the tipping point in terms of irreversible damage to the global climate. And so, you know, one of the things is to make sure that governments incentivize the use of electric cars and stuff. All these things would go a long way in stopping our planet from really tipping over into a kind of vortex that's going to be destruction for millions.
But looking at some of the potential beneficiaries from this move, you've got to keep an eye on Chinese automaker BYD Auto. They are apparently the world's biggest electric vehicle maker by number of units sold. You also wonder whether Tesla can get a foothold in this massive market over there. So it's interesting to see how the U.S., you know, recently walking away from the Paris climate Paris Climate Accord, and you've got China now stepping up and it basically issuing this similar statement of intent that rivals what we're seeing coming out of Europe as well, right? So looks like China is obviously stepping up, at least in terms of the global green energy agenda here.
Yes, Beijing has also ordered state-owned Chinese power companies to speed up the installation of charging stations to increase the appeal of electric cars. I think that's important as well, because there's this whole debate of whether you buy an electric car and there's no charging stations, right? That's this chicken and egg situation.
It's all fascinating stuff. If you want to read a brilliant book on China's struggles with the environment, Jonathan Watts' Win a Billion Chinese Jump, I would recommend that highly. We're coming up to the top of the hour. They'll have the news and then we'll be back with the Breakfast Grill. Han, you speak to Law King Hui. He's the Managing Director of Susbuddy Holdings. I'm looking forward to that discussion. Stay tuned. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.